Let's see our Bibles tonight.
Whoa.
Let's see your pens, and your lesson plan. Let's plan. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. We are starting a series through the Gospels, and we will do the whole Gospels, at least the first three, the Synoptic Gospels, in all of 05. 05? Matthew chapter 4. Let me do a little quiz. Genesis is the book of? When Moses was born, he had a what sentence on his life? Scared of you. Who raised Moses? Pharaoh's what? Hey. Mount what did he die on? Look at y'all. Okay, last question, last quiz. There was the tabernacle had three parts. The bigger part was called a? Five people. Called the what? And then the what? Holy place, then the what? Yeah, okay. I knew you were waiting for that one. Okay. And the high priest goes in the holy place how many times a year? And that day is called the day of what? Three words. Very good. Okay. Look at y'all. Last year, the San Diego Chargers were 4-12. Stay with the story. Stay with me. Last year, Drew Brees was a quarterback, and he was taken out of, I believe, three games. And he was benched for five games, which is not good. Therefore, they drafted Philip Rivers, $40-something million. So Drew Brees' time was limited. Philip Rivers held out. Drew Brees had a limited amount of time till Philip signed the contract and got knowledge of the offense, and he was going to be put in, I assume. We all assume. First game, second game, third game, Chargers were 1-2. They lost to Denver, and they interviewed Drew Brees, who was basically on a clock. They were losing. They got another guy. He's in camp. He's on the team, and, you know, your time is limited. And Drew Brees got up to the podium and said, right now, I am the starting quarterback. I'm paraphrasing. I'm the starting quarterback. This is my team, and we're going to the playoffs. Now, I'm going to guess that most of the people listening to him were like, please. You got one or two more weeks, maybe, and this team ain't going to the playoffs. They ain't been to the playoffs since Jesus walked the earth, okay? I'm paraphrasing. But he said that. I remember it was clear as a bell because I felt I was so inspired by what he was saying because he had been through hell. And you have no idea when people are criticizing you in the paper, blah, 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 blah. And he said this, and those are my team. They had just lost. Well, in 6 days from now, they're going to be in the playoffs, and he's going to the Pro Bowl, which he didn't predict that. That was even better than what he probably thought. It seemed like an impossible mission that he was proclaiming he was going to fulfill. Christ has given the church a mission. You must be crystal clear to understand that Christ has given the church a very clear mission. And it is an impossible mission for you and I to accomplish because it involves the transformation of people's hearts and minds. You and I can't do that. Only Christ can do that. We have a role in it, but he's the one who ultimately does it. That's why it's called Mission Him Possible if you look at the top of your lesson plan. There's an H in front of it. It's Him Possible. And the only way this mission can be accomplished is if we submit ourselves to Him. But first we have to understand what the mission is. So we're going to start by looking in the book of Matthew. Now, let's talk about what a mission is. Anytime you start a business, an organization, a group, you have to understand what your business is. The San Diego Chargers is in the football business. The Padres are in the baseball business. In-N-Out Burger is in the hamburger food service business. Now, it's very critical. A lot of us are In-N-Out fans. One of the reasons In-N-Out is so successful is because they are crystal clear on their business. They are not into breakfast. They're not into snacks. They're not into gum. You ever go to these places where they serve everything? They serve tacos. They serve hamburgers. They serve eggs. They serve all this stuff, and they want to be all things to all people, and you can't. In-N-Out says, no, we're only going to serve two things, three things, drinks, fries, and hamburgers. And people are lying about the door. Amen? Besides the fact they make them really good. But when everyone's trying to do all these things, they said, no, we know what our thing is. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing a lot of things, just as long as those things have focus. Okay? What business is the church? Now, you may say the church is not a business. Well, let me define what I mean when I say business. Let me read a verse to you first, what Jesus said when he said we had business. Luke chapter 2, just write this down if you're taking notes. Luke chapter 2, verse 49 and 50. Luke 2, 49, 50, Jesus Christ was 12 years old. He left his family to go minister in the temple to the rabbis. And his family came and saw him. He says, why do you seek me? He says, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? So don't get confused with business and church and ministry. Just get out your mind. Think about this definition of a business. This is the one I just wrote up, but I'll give you a little flavor. Any endeavor characterized by organized, diligent work for the purpose of accomplishing a goal. That's business. If you're having some trouble with your girlfriend and your friend says, you better go handle your business, that's not a financial thing. That's a life and death issue. Okay, let me diligently handle my business so I accomplish my goal. So when I say business, just means something that we're going to focus doing, exercising our efforts in a very focused way. That's what I mean by business. What is the church's business? What are we supposed to be doing? Let me tell you what the church's business is not. Having meetings like this. This is not our ultimate business. It may shock you. Having Bible studies in your house with your fellow Christians. Those are means to an end to accomplish the bottom line. But they're not the bottom line. You have to understand that. Because a lot of times we can do a lot of things that we think is the bottom line and miss the whole point. And you could be a Christian for 20, 30 years, go to church all the time, and never get to handling the business God called you to accomplish. Now, Book of Matthew, there are four Gospels, and you might hear people say, well, the Gospels were written by fishermen. They weren't journalists. They couldn't write, whatever, whatever. That's not true. Matthew was not a fisherman. He was a tax collector. He was a government official. Luke was a physician, a very intelligent, educated dude. He actually wrote Luke and Acts. So don't believe that hype about these guys didn't know what they were talking about. Matthew wrote the Gospel of Matthew specifically for Jewish people because he wanted to prove that Christ was a fulfillment of the Messiah of the Old Testament. He uses over 120 Old Testament verses to verify this is the Messiah. It was written very specifically. In the book of Matthew, he refers to Jesus being the son of David more than all the other Gospels. He refers to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, more than all the other Gospels. He includes the teachings of Jesus more than all the other Gospels. So he had a very specific purpose when he wrote this. So we'll get to that as we go through over the weeks. But you just need to know that. Now, look at chapter 4, verse 18. We're going to look at today the very first thing Christ said to his disciples in the book of Matthew and the very last thing he said to his disciples in the book of Matthew. We're also going to touch on the last thing he said to his disciples before he left. And these two things that he said are going to be describe the church's business and the church's, which is our mission statement, and the church's vision. What Christ's vision for the church is. And we'll talk about what those two things are in a minute. Look what it says. It says, verse 18, chapter 4, Matthew, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. These two guys were fishermen. Then he said to them, and by the way, just because someone's a fisherman doesn't mean he's smart. I spoke at a high school once in Connecticut a long time ago, and this young lady came to me and says, you know what? I was so surprised at how well you spoke because you're a football player. And I wanted to say to her, I'm so surprised how tick you are because you're a teenager. You're supposed to be stupid too. I didn't say that, but you know, I'm thinking that in my mind. What do you mean? Just because someone plays football, just because someone's a janitor, because someone is that means they're not intelligent. So just because someone's a fisherman doesn't mean he's not intelligent. What is that? So don't buy that stuff when people say it to you. But look what it says in verse 18, chapter 4. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter. Everyone say Peter. And Andrew, his brother, say Andrew. Casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, listen to what he said. Follow me, and I will include you in a big group meeting where I talk to people all the time. Follow me, and we will have Bible studies every week. Follow me, and we will have Christian activities around town. And stay away from those non-Christian people. Is that what he said? No. Look what he says. He wanted to be crystal clear what he was calling them to. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. If you follow me, if you leave your occupation, or if you say you're going to be born again, let me be clear to you what we're going to do. We're going to fish for men. Who are those men? Those are going to be men and women who are not Christian. When Christ died, he said, when Christ called Matthew, the author of this book, he went to his house, all these tax collectors, they were sinners, and Christ says, I did not come to save the righteous, but to save sinners. So, come follow me and leave being fishermen for fish, and we're going to go fish for men so they can trust me. Now, when you got saved, you might not know that's what you were signed up for. You might have signed up for, oh, I don't want to go to hell, and maybe God can bring me a man, or maybe God can bring me a whoa, man, and I'll just pray, and good things will happen to me. You were deceived to think that. Now, I'm not saying someone deceived you. That may have been your perception. But what you really need to know now is that what you were saying was, my life is jacked up. I'm a sinner. I can't fix it. And I need to surrender myself to Christ, one, so I don't go to hell, but two, so I can join his team of fishermen. So I can be on his team to build his kingdom. Because he died for everyone who's outside the door, who's not saved. Not that all y'all are saved, because some of y'all are probably not. But he died for people who are going to hell. And I need to join him in his efforts to get them saved. That is what being a Christian is. Now, what does that mean in practicality? Look at your notes. A mission is a description of your bottom line business. A mission is a description of your bottom line business. And he told them, our bottom line business is going to be fishers of men. And he says it many different ways. That's how we're going to say it today. Now, going to church is part of that. Reading your Bible every day is part of that. Praying every day is part of that. Being in Bible study is part of that. But that's not it. You can be in Bible study all day long and never encounter a non-Christian and learn all this Bible knowledge and be no good to the kingdom of God because you never open your mouth to someone who doesn't know Christ. You could be prayer meetings all day and just praying for your holiness. That's all good and fine, but are you praying for lost people? Are you engaged in lost people? We're going to see in a minute. You have to understand that the mission God gave us is very clear, and you have to decide, are you in or are you out? You don't want to be an imposter. Come to church, hit the back, oh, did my Christian duty today. No, you didn't do anything. You got your feel good. Let's look at our notes. A mission statement. We have a mission statement, which describes our mission. And by the way, people, this mission statement is a rewording of the mission statement that applies to every Christian church on the planet Earth. This is a non-negotiable. In other words, every church is supposed to do these three things in some form or another. And here's what it is. The Rock Church exists to save, S-A-V-E, equip, E-Q-U-I-P, and send, S-end. Out soul winners for Jesus Christ. Very simple. Three words. Save, equip, and send. Now, send doesn't mean you have to go to Utah, or you have to go to Hawaii, even though that might not be bad, or you have to go to, you know, to Africa, Delaware, Santee. Don't mean that, okay? Send means that you have to leave your house and talk to somebody outside of your clothes who doesn't know Christ. That's all that means. You know, I'm not against missionaries at all. I think missionaries is a great thing. That's what our focus is. You know, and I think we have enough problems right here. We have enough problems right here in this neighborhood, in this city, in this country. Not against missionaries, but some people some reason feel it's more noble to go fly halfway across the world to do what they can do right here. And one of the reasons people, sometimes it's easier because you're in your different culture and you're so familiar with people around here. But let's not miss the ministry we have right here, okay? So send doesn't necessarily mean going out. It includes that, yes, but that's not the definition necessarily. It just means to go, okay? I got it. I'm learning. Now I need to go do something about it. That's all that means. Now, a vision statement is a picture of your preferred future. A picture of your preferred future. Example, how many of you in here do any kind of exercise workout in any form at all? Great. How many people you do not work out at all, have no exercise in your life, you just do nothing? Okay, let's say a word of prayer. Let me encourage you, work out, exercise, bust a sweat, something. It's good for you. It's real good for you. Matter of fact, the guy, my trainer, even though he doesn't train me anymore, we're just friends, but he says that he believes every person should lose their breath every day. What does that mean? Where you can't breathe. Not can't breathe, but you just tired. It's so good for your heart, and we ain't getting into that. But when you work out, what is the vision of your exercise program? In other words, your mission may be, you know, I want to work out, I want to be healthy. But when you close your eyes and you think of your preferred future of you working out for a year, 2 years, 5 years, what does that look like? In other words, are you any more healthy? Are you losing weight? Are you increasing muscle mass? Is your heart rate going down? Your cholesterol level going? What is the vision? When I was in college, my roommate was a bodybuilder. Well, he wasn't a bodybuilder. We played football, but he was a wannabe bodybuilder. It means he wasn't doing it, but he had pictures all up on the wall. He was in the gym. You know, yelling, getting, hey, look at me, look at me. He's a big dude. But, you know, he never really did it. He just talked about doing it. So he had pictures up on his wall. He's a big bulky dude, and he had all these pictures on the wall, these big dudes. And I was like, I can't relate. Can't relate. But dude, I can't get that big. Can't relate. Then he had a guy named Frank Zane, who actually, I believe, lives in San Diego now. Frank Zane was 190 pounds. I was like, oh, okay. I thought you had to be big, big. I said, that, if I was going to be a bodybuilder, which I never did, that's what I would look like. That's the only bodybuilder I've ever remembered his name, because he was the guy who I could relate to as, if I was going to have a vision, that would be what it was. And if I would close my eyes and think, okay, if I worked out like he wants to work out, that's what I would look like. That was my preferred future. Coca-Cola's vision, you're going to love this, is to have a Coca-Cola within arm's length of every human on the planet. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! That's a vision. You ever notice that when you watch these shows like a movie where you see someone in the Amazon jungle or South American jungle, these dudes in the middle of nowhere and they got a Coke. You know what I'm talking about? People always have a Coke. Why? Because their marketing department is online and on board with the vision. And they want to show you that they're accomplishing it. And get in your mind that everybody on the planet knows Coca-Cola. Their vision. It is a picture of your preferred future. Now, when you're working out, your vision may be, I just want to be alive at the end of the workout. You may just want to survive. But if you had a vision of health, I mean, you know, sometimes my father's 70 years old, he just turned 70, he rides a bike like 20 miles a day. If you saw a picture of him, he looks like he's 50. He really looks really young. And then I meet people who are 70 who look so much older. A lot of different factors and reasons. But one of them is health. Part of it is genetics, whatever, whatever. But those are things you can affect in your life. And so one of the visions that I have for working out is to live long and strong so I can do this for 50, 60 more years, 70 more years. And that's a vision. Actually, my goal is 120 years old. You laugh. Go ahead and laugh. I won't be 120. But why? So I can have 75 and a half more years of preaching. That's division. So when you have a church, okay, save, equip, send. If we do that, what does that look like? 10 years, 20 years from now. Why is that important? One, so you know where you're going, and two, so you know if you're accomplishing it. Because isn't it so frustrating doing something you don't know if you're accomplishing it? We have to know. So here's a statement. Look at your notes. I'm sorry, turn to Matthew 28 real quick. Matthew 28. I gave you a quick test, and you'll probably all get it right. What is the vision of the San Diego Chargers this year? Super Bowl. That's it. And put a little meat on that. Super Bowl what? Champions. Not just to go there, to win. Very simple. That's the vision. Their business is football. Their vision is Super Bowl for this year. Very simple. Okay? Let's just don't play to play. Let's play to win. And that's biblical, by the way. Play to win. Run to win. Verse 18, chapter 28, is the last thing Jesus said in the book of Matthew to his disciples after he is resurrected from the dead. Jesus came to them and said, all authority has been given to me in the heaven and earth. And he says, go there and make disciples of everybody that is in Jerusalem. Is that what it says? Go make disciples of everyone that's in Galilee. He said, no. He says, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I am with you always. He says, look, disciples, 12 guys, 11 now, I want you to go global. Go, boy, we don't have any internet, we don't have any, we've never been to America, we don't know what that America, what are you talking about, Jesus? Go global. That's my vision. If you guys are fishers of men and you are successful, it should go worldwide. Have they accomplished their goal? Oh, yes, I think so. It's global. It's global. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You want to write that down. Acts 1, 8. Right before Jesus ascended to heaven, the last thing he said was, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive dunamis power, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Go global. That's what I want you to do. Think big. And then he left. Global. What is he? We just got to deal with these guys right here. How are we going to go global? One person at a time. Let's read in our notes. Vision statement. The vision of the Rock Church is to be a powerful evangelistic force. Everyone say powerful. Say evangelistic force. That is different from saying the Rock Church is going to do evangelism. Why is that? Because I could do evangelism by myself and fulfill that if that's what it said. But I cannot be a powerful evangelistic force all by myself. It is critical that you understand that this statement is going to describe something that can only happen if we all do our job. This is not about me doing my job. Matter of fact, this is about something happening even if I die. A very good friend of mine died last Sunday, Reggie White, who was Hall of Fame, will be in Hall of Fame, defensive lineman, the Minister of Defense. He was sold out Christian. He was 6'4", 6'3", 300 pounds. And when he was this all-time sack leader. Sack leader, sack is, for all you don't know, is when a defensive player tackles a quarterback behind the line of scrimmage. He was all-time sack leader until this year, or last year, I should say. And when he was on the line, he had a real raspy voice like that. His nickname was Big Dog. We call him Big Dog. And he would say, Jesus coming. This is in a football game. Jesus coming. And he'd be getting down in the stands. He'd walk kind of like this. He was just big. And he was a big kid, teddy bear, great guy. And he was like, Jesus coming. Jesus coming. And they'd be like, what's he saying? And he would get down the line, ready, set. He's a defensive player. Quarterback's calling signals. And he would say, Jesus coming. And they would go, when? He says, right now. And he would rush the quarterback, throw the guy on the ground. He passed away, 43 years old. I've known him for about 15 years. His kids are 17, 18, give or take. My other close friend lives they live in Charlotte, and I call him up and said, please tell me that it's not true. He said, Miles, he's gone, and we're all the same age. And we had to stop and go, you never know. He was healthy. He had a heart attack. You never know. The vision of the Rock Church, this is not the vision of Miles' life. This is the vision of this church. is to be a powerful evangelistic force. Look at the bottom of your definition. Powerful evangelistic force means mighty, strong, commanding, authoritative. It is not to do evangelism here every Sunday. It's not to do it at our events. It's to be a force in San Diego, in the world. The question you have to answer is, list one way your Christian witness can be more powerful. Because we are only going to be powerful to some, or beyond the sum of the parts. If I'm a holy man and no one else in the church is, guess what? Our effectiveness in the church is limited. If I'm not a holy man and no one else is, we have no effectiveness. Someone's got to be holy. But if we're all, imagine if we all prayed every day, if we all read our Bible every day, imagine if we all served each other with humility every day. Can you imagine that? When we signed a contract to have a permit in this building, part of the conditions was we were not supposed to park on the street. We cannot park on the street. We're in violation of our permit if we park in the street. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Those parking spaces belong to the people who live in that those condos, apartments. And before we got the permit, I sat in a room right behind that wall with 20 people from this community who were yelling at me, accusing me of everything you can imagine. And one of the things they said is, you guys are going to take up our parking spaces. I said, no, our permit says we can't park on the street. We're going to do everything we can not to park on the street. People park in the street. We are blowing our witness. And there are people in this community, I guarantee you, are cursing my name and the church's name because we park in the street. Simple thing, but they're right. We should not park in the street. So how are we going to be a powerful evangelistic force if we, those types of things we don't do? Now, we're going to do a better job of having people out there going, you can't park here. You know, we may get some big tattooed up brother saying, hey, you can't park here. But we can't park on the street. I'm not trying to, you know, ruin your space. It's not our space. We are supposed to park on this property. That is part of being a powerful evangelistic force, is playing by the rules. It's not just having a loud voice. It's living a godly life. How can you be a better Christian, more powerful witness in your life? How can people watch you and get affected just by watching your life? The reason I got to say it is because I watched a Christian who had a powerful witness. Just looking at him, watching him every day in the locker room. I said, that guy is different. I didn't even know he was saved. How can your witness be powerful so when you do open your mouth and share, people go, now I know why you're the way you are. They don't go, you? You're a Christian? If anyone ever says that to you, you should step back and just pray. Next one. The vision of the Rock Church to be a powerful evangelistic force, too, that engages every segment of society. This is my favorite part of this vision statement. That engages every segment of society. That engages every segment of society. Now, look in your notes. To engage every segment of society, it means to connect, it means to confront, it means to enter into conflict. Now, I need to explain this to you. First, let me explain to you every segment of society. A segment of society would be all 20-year-old women that are blonde hair. That's a segment. All 21-year-old guys. All kids that play youth soccer. All surfers at PB. All surfers at Torrey Pines. All people who play flag football. All people in the softball league. All people who work at Qualcomm. Those are all segments of society. Every single one of you probably belongs to four or five segments of society. All people who go to In-N-Out after church on Sunday night. That's a segment. We want to engage every segment. You know how Coke wants to be in 6 feet of every person? We don't want to just have Christians in 6 feet of every person. We want to engage everybody. Now, let me tell you what engaging enter the conflict is not. It is not what I call a who's the man drive-by. You're driving down the street. Barely see it over the steering wheel, and you yell out the window at the movie theater, who's the man? And you keep driving. That's a who's the man drive-by. That's not engaging. Engaging is forcing someone to stop what they're doing and to interact with what you're trying to communicate. That means simply by asking someone, hey, where do you go to church? Are you a Christian? What do you believe? And having them have to conversate with you. Maybe an ad newspaper on TV that makes them think. Man, never thought about that. Every segment. Now, I want you all to think about your segment. Because if there's 1,200 people in this room, there's probably 4,000 segments, because all of you represent several segments. Your apartment building is a segment. Your school is a segment. Every class you go to on college is a segment. And we want to engage all those people. Now, you don't have to be thinking, oh, I got to engage all those people. Just think about one. Just one. Just one segment. Your segment could be your one neighbor next to you. Simple as that. And think about how you can engage them and cause them to consider and contemplate their faith, life, death, eternity. Even, you know, some of you who are football players or into sports, you know Reggie White. You can use that. Say, did you know Reggie White, all-time sack leader, now he's number two, died? Did you know he was a Christian? And why? Let me tell you why he's in heaven. It's as simple as that. But there's many ways of engaging. There was a young lady who goes to church here, and she after Billy Graham said, she got in a trolley. I think I might have told you this. She got in a trolley. It was packed. And someone on the trolley yelled, "Who's the man?" And she didn't want to yell out because she was like, maybe I'm the only one. And the whole trolley said, "Jesus." Now, it was after a Billy Graham crusade. But you know, what if it was after a Padre game? Or a Charger game? Though that's engaging. And what if everyone that got on the trolley saw a Who's the Man banner on the wall advertising? Or we had Rock Water, bottled water with Rock label on it. Say, what's the living water in your life? There's a lot of different ways of engaging people, and all y'all have ideas. It's not always just preaching. It's asking a question. It's advertising. It's marketing. It's media. It's radio, TV, billboards, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's wearing T-shirts all the time. And if you think about when you and wherever you go, ask God to give you a vision how you are going to engage those people. That's the vision of the church. Let's keep reading. As an army of motivated believers in Jesus Christ, A-R-M-Y. Four words, those four letters represent. In February, we're going to do a series called Salvation Army. We're going to lay out four conditions to be a member of the Rock. And we'll talk about that in a month. But look what it says an army is. A group of trained soldiers or fighters organized to engage in battle. Are you interested in being part of such an army? Let's go back to the one before. I think I missed one. What segment of society are you called to engage in? Did I say that? Okay, what part of society are you called to engage? And you can just list the ones you're in and just pick one. And then this is, are you interested in part of being an army? It's very critical for you to make a decision, I want to be part of this, I don't. Because of this, you really don't want to be at a church where you're not involved. Why? Because you're cheating yourself out of why the church is there. So if you feel like, you know, I can't be involved in that church, let me encourage you very positively to go find a church you can be involved in, but don't do nothing. Because you cheat yourself out of what church is for. There are some people that we call them professional sermon tasters. You have wine tasters. You have cookie tasters. You have people who shop and touch material, all of them, go to different stores. And then you have sermon tasters. Well, let's go hear Miles this week. Whatever. Then you go to the area, let's go hear this guy, Leo, next week. All right, let's go hear the Flood this week. And you just go around and you just judge and critique the experience and look for people, things you don't like. I don't like that for this reason. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. No church, no pastor, no congregation is perfect. And neither are you. So let's put that out aside and say, where does God want me to put both feet in and be involved? If you can't do that here, for your own good, do it. Go someplace where you can, because what God wants to do through you not only requires that, it's worth that. It is. And so it says here, an army of trained people ready to do battle. Why do we say battle? Why do we say army? Because this is a life and death issue. I was listening to the radio, I believe it was this morning when I was driving home after the morning services. It was talking about the abused elderly of San Diego. Almost a quarter million abused elderly every year reported. Those are the ones reported, most of them by their family. That's sad. That's downright evil. The devil is not joking. The devil don't care about elderly. The devil don't care about children. The devil don't care about you. And any way he can ruin your life, he will. This is a battle. It's not something that, oh, I'll go to church a couple times a month and pray five times every Sunday and God will just bless me. Please, you're deceived. The devil's got you right where he wants you. Apathetic, a non-issue. You are not a threat to his kingdom. You ain't going to open your mouth. You're not going to witness anybody. You're not going to make any dent in his kingdom. When Christ died, he died to destroy the kingdom. And when you accepted Christ your Savior as your Lord, as the boss of your life, he says, now as part of my army, we're going over there to save the captives who are going to hell. That's what this is about. So that's why we use army. And it's God's mission is more important than all the little pet peeves things we want. It really is. Matter of fact, when we do our fast next week, we start a fast next week, 3 weeks. I hope all y'all do it. We're going to fast fruits and vegetables. You don't have to go fruit and vegetables. You can fast TV. You can fast sweets. Fast coffee. And by the way, next week starts a four-week series called Lord of the Things. Because in order for you to accomplish this, you have to decide who's Lord. Is your stomach Lord or your fleshly carnal desires Lord? Is your attitude Lord? Is your money Lord or is Jesus Lord? If Jesus is not Lord, this can't happen in your life. And so we have to, encouragement to you is to come to every service of those 4 weeks. Come every week. Traditionally, we have about 40% turnover every week. About these many people will not come and they're replaced by that many more people every week. So my encouragement to you is to come every week. Watch what happens. Watch what happens to you. Watch what happens to the room. My point is, it's an army. It's serious. It's commitment. It's sacrifice. Remember the next thing it says. It says, we, in the middle of our vision statement, it says, we are wholeheartedly committed to using our gifts anywhere at any time. Anywhere at any time. To share the gospel by transforming and influencing, transforming our culture. Everyone say anywhere. Say anytime. I have a question for you. It's not a trick question. Just answer it. It's very simple. What does anywhere at any time mean? What does anywhere at any time mean? It means anywhere at any time. Look what it says in your notes. Anywhere at any time. Ministry events, offices, your campus, Starbucks. How many people are going to go to Starbucks the next week before next Sunday? Just me. Yeah, I'm not going to trick you. I'm not going to put you down. Just raise your hand up real high. Be proud. Be proud. Yeah, I'm going to Starbucks. That's right. Okay. Imagine if all y'all who went to Starbucks, you order your your caramel macchiato, macarena, your frappuccino, your latte, aste lauda, whatever it is you order. And then you get your little biscuit or your scone for the bouginess, the scones. First time I ate it, my wife was like, get a scone. I was like, what is a scone? I'm not, something. I just, some of that stuff I don't know about. I was like, get a scone. I was like, I'm not saying it's bad. I just wasn't expecting, you know, rubber. But they're good. They're good. It was just a different texture. It was real thick. I felt like I was chewing on somebody's afro. It was just But anyway, next time you go to Starbucks, when you order your thing, and they ask you grande, whatever, small, medium, large. And the grande is not the biggest one, is it? See, that throws me off. But anyway, say, do you go to church? You read your Bible? Can I invite you to church? Say that to the person. Why not? What are they going to say? They got to answer your question. They're trained in customer service. They cannot blow you off. They can't go. They can't do that. They have to go. They have to be engaged. And then when you go to the wait line, they put the little thing in, the little thing in, and they call your name, whatever. As they put it up, say, hey, excuse me, where do you go to church? And then bring your Bible, basic instruction before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E. Put that on your little table. Get a pen out. Act like you're writing something, like you know what it is, right? And just read your Bible, and every now and then look up, see who's looking at you. You read your Bible, you go, no. You were just a freak. I was watching you. You know what I'm saying? I was on a plane, and I got my Bible out. I was dressed in regular clothes, and I'm sitting there reading my Bible. This lady, and I saw a witness lady. She ended up getting saved, but in the middle of a conversation, she says, you're a pastor. I go, no. She said, I knew you were a pastor. I said, how do you know that? She said, you had your Bible out. In other words, only pastors read their Bible in public. That's what she was saying. Anywhere, at any time. You stand in line at Vons, the inquirer says, Billy Graham and Jesus were seen in Yuma. Turn to the person behind you and say, look at that. Billy Graham and Jesus, did you know that when Jesus comes back, he's going to come in the clouds, he ain't going to be in Yuma? Oh, I didn't know that. Just check that out. You just walk. Anywhere, at any time. But look what it says at the end of that sentence. To share the gospel while influencing and transforming our culture. Everyone say culture. Look at the bottom of your notes where it gives the definition of culture. Culture means the way we do things. Talk, dress, walking, reacting, dealing with conflict, etc. List one way you would like to see the culture of your segment of society changed. Think about this. I want to go back to my example about the trolley. The ladies on the trolley, one person says, who's the man? Everyone in the trolley says, Jesus. It was right after the Billy Graham crusade. Wouldn't it be neat if that happened after a Padre game? It wouldn't happen today. Where everybody would say, who's Jesus, if anybody. That's changing culture. Wouldn't it also be neat, every day you went out, wherever you went, so you left your house, went to the mall, you went to a game, you went to school, you went to work, that every day in our culture in San Diego City, you saw somebody with their hand on someone's shoulder praying for them. That's changing culture. Where every day where you went, you saw someone with a Bible in their hand. That's changing culture. Where every day you saw someone reading the scriptures, you heard Christian music on the radio, you heard the gospel on secular radio. I grew up in New York, and we had a station called WBLS. And at 12 o'clock midnight, you remember the song they played? Every day, I believe they still play it. What's the name of that song? Do you know? This song must be 50 years old. There I go, there I go, there I go, there I go. Remember that song? Every single night, and I believe to this day they still play the song. I don't even know how old this song is. I listened to it 35 years ago. I was thinking, man, wouldn't it be great if at the end of the broadcast of 91X, every night at 12 o'clock, me or some preacher would come on and say, listen, I know you're getting ready to turn the radio off and go back. Some of you may be high right now. You may be depressed, want to kill yourself, whatever it is. Trying to keep it real, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to do that. Jesus loves you. Boom, 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 boom. Imagine you're out of 91, and then all of a sudden, I come on and you're like, what? I was in a hotel the other day looking at all the internet movie selections, and they had workout, core training. I was like, what's this? So I did a little preview. I want to see what kind of workout they had. $6, you could buy a workout. I ain't paying no $6 to watch somebody work out on TV. But they had a girl in there, she was. And I was like, why couldn't all the hotels in San Diego have a message of hope? What's that? Maybe you're going to kill yourself. Maybe you're cheating on your wife right now. Oh. Maybe you just finished watching pornography. Get on your knees and repent. Why not? This is engaging every segment of society. This is influencing our culture, how people talk, how people act, how people react. This is the vision. Now, some of you may say, man, we can never do that. Well, that's kind of part of a mission statement. It's so big and so far down there, but it is a direction, and it can happen. It can happen because we have no idea. There's about 12, 1300 people in this room right now. There's five services. You know what some of y'all should do? Y'all should come to all five services just one day. Just come to all five. Check out and see what it's like. And see the 80% of the church you don't even know about. But imagine if all of us said, you know what? We're going to do this. We're going to save, equip, and stand. We're going to share gospel anywhere, anytime, the way God has gifted us. Everyone's not a preacher? Don't preach if you're not a preacher. If you're not a teacher, don't teach. If you're an organizer, organize. If you're a strategist, strategize. Last sentence. This force will evangelize San Diego and empower other churches to use this ministry model around the world. We're going to take communion in a minute. The first thing that needs to take place before you or I fulfill this is to really submit our life to Christ and understand what Lordship is all about. As I said, next week we're going to start a four-week series called Lord of the Things. It's a series on personal stewardship of everything that is considered you. Your time, your talents, your resources, your experience, your training, your physical body. I want you to listen to the sound. Steal them and steal. I'm only kidding. But if you touch yourself, do you know that your physical body belongs to God? You do not have a right to do with your body what you want. So that's why we're going to fast, so we can learn that and learn who's Lord. Here's my challenge to you. Let's do 1 month at a time. For the month of January, come every week, do the quizzes, memorize the memory verses. Matthew 4:19, who's that memory verse? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Do the quizzes. Go to small group. If you don't have one, find one. Do the fast. Fast something. You don't have to fast food. If you don't want to do that, that's fine. But fast. Give up something. Give up TV. Other than the football games. But give up TV. You know what I'm saying? Power to the people. But for real, give something up and say, Lord, for 3 weeks, start next Sunday to the end of the month. For 3 weeks, I am going to submit to you like I never have, and I want to experience more of you than I ever have. Just do that. See what happens. See what happens. Because let me tell you something. If God is not the best thing you got, this is fake. If God is not the best thing you can have, and if following Christ is not the best thing you can have, and if you can't get more joy than following Christ the way he said, this is not legit. We shouldn't even be here. That's a fact. That's a non-negotiable. If you could honestly say, I gave Christ my whole life. There's a guy in the church here, I'm not going to say his name, but he had a job he shouldn't have had, and he was making money in a way he shouldn't have made it, and God challenged him to quit his job. He quit his job. God gave him free rent and a free car. Run this by me again. And you're going to tell me God's not real? If God is not the best thing in your life, if you give him an honest opportunity and you're not the happiest you ever have, I'm not saying you're going to make the most money you ever made. I'm not saying you're going to have the hottest chick you ever had. But your heart will be filled with more joy than you ever had, more peace you ever had. If that's not true, then this book is not true. We should not be here. That's non-negotiable. There's nothing compared to God. So give God 3 weeks of something. Pray like you never have. guy did this series on tithing, and he was talking about tithing. He told his church he was going to give them a money-back guarantee. If you tithe for 1 month, or whatever the time frame was, and you're not satisfied, I'll give you all your money back. Now, we ain't doing that here. And actually, you know what? I wouldn't even mind doing that. Because let me tell you something. God is faithful to his word. 3 weeks, give God your life. We're going to take communion, then we're going to give you a couple last parting thoughts, and then we're going to go. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to be saved. We thank you for the opportunity to walk away from the junk in our life and to really be transformed and to have a supernatural experience with a living God. There may be somebody here, you need Christ to forgive you of your sin. You really need to be born again, as the Bible says. And you want him to forgive you and cleanse you. In the privacy of your heart, pray this prayer with me. Pray, dear God, please forgive me of my sin. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be born again. I surrender my life to you. If you prayed that prayer, just slip your hand up real high. We can see you and pray for you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. 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 Good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Good. Okay, you can put your hands down. Lord, we pray for those people. We pray you would do a radical thing in their life. Lord, I pray you prepare the Rock Church for the next 4 weeks, the next 4 Sundays, that we would see an outpouring of your Holy Spirit like we never have, individually and corporately. And I pray you would raise up soldiers in your army that we can really see your vision fulfilled. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hold the bread and hold the juice, and then we'll take it together. You know who you are. pass out the last few trays, let me encourage you to step up your relationship with God, as I was saying before, and to really give God an opportunity. I'm making that commitment to you to step up my relationship with God. It's not something I'm not going to do. And so I want to challenge you to the same thing. And I want to challenge you to not only get an accountability partner for this 3 weeks, somebody not of the same, someone of the same gender, a couple of three people, if you will, but to document at least one area in your life you would love to see God transform in a radical way. It could be your temper, your language, your diet, time management, whatever it is. And identify something very specific that you want to see changed. Again, that's your vision for you. And so you know if you got there and you know how, where you're going. Don't just do it to suffer and come out the end and just, what happened? Say, Lord, I want to see this happen. I want to pray more. I want to memorize scripture. I want to read the Bible more faithfully. I want to understand the Bible. Lord, we thank you that you died. We thank you that the example you set for us was total submission. And you said that they, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed and said, take, eat, this is my body. Lord, as we take this bread, we remember the fact that your body was crucified. We acknowledge that. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. He took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that your blood cleanses. We pray you would cleanse us fresh tonight. Cleanse our mind, our heart, our attitude. We pray we can experience you in a more powerful way this month and this year. Such a powerful experience that we never want to go back to what we were. Burn in our heart a hunger and thirst for righteousness in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Several things before you go. One, if you want to give money to help relief efforts in Asia, when you leave, the ushers will be at the door. Put cash, write a check to the Rock, we'll all get it to the Red Cross. Number two, I had a video for you. But I want to encourage this group. They've been here all day, five services. And amen. Good job, man. How old are you, Darla? 17. Darla from Little Rascals is out. Drummer, 17 years old. Amen. And this young man here, I ministered at Horizon 15 years on and off. The pastor's Mike McIntosh. This is his son. And I've known Jonathan for, you're 29 now, so you, was it, 20 years. You were 9 or 8. He's married, Sarah's wife, and it's just encouraging to see you grown up, being a godly man, beautiful wife, beautiful voice, and we just want to encourage you. I just want to encourage you in your faith, and just keep going, brother. You made it. Amen.